Hello and welcome to Full Access Hoops and OTG Basketball Podcast. Today, we have a full show, two shows in one. First, I'm joined by Dalton Pence from OTG Basketball, Houston Rockets contributor, draft content expert. And we go through the Houston Rockets. We do an overview of this season to this point. We talk about James Harden's year. We talk about the coaching staff and a lot of things that went into the Houston Rockets to this point. And then I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Nigel Freeman, the audio engineer, my co-host for our weekly show. We dive into album reviews for two albums. We go through zodiac signs. We go through some heavy energy talks, some life talks. I give a rather deep story, and we just vibe out. This is a birthday edition podcast. I will be 25 years old when this podcast drops, which is weird to say. It feels like life is going by extremely fast nowadays. So please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all that good stuff. Be sure to check out otgbasketball.com for the latest and greatest NBA content. And now, enjoy. With me today, I'm joined by none other than Dalton Pence, an OTG Houston Rocket writer, contributor, starting up a podcast too, I think soon, leading the draft content over at OTG Basketball. Does a ton of stuff with the site. Been relatively new, though. You've only been with the site for what, Dalton? Two months, 3 months?
Well, I've been with it for almost a year, but I've just really kind of kicked everything into gear in the past couple months. So, I mean, you could pretty much say the past couple months.
Yeah, you've been tremendous, man. I know when we had our meetings earlier in the season, you were a guy that we were all pushing for to get pushed into the core of the OTG staff. And obviously, not that people would know this, you are a member of that core staff, which is also awesome to see because it just shows the hard work you've put in. And now a team that's put in a ton of hard work, the Houston Rockets, a team that was 14th or 13th in the Western Conference at the beginning of the season, a team that I had started to kind of roll over and think was not going to be able to make the playoffs, has stormed all the way back. And what are some of your thoughts and feelings around what's been a somewhat crazy year for the Houston Rockets?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. There have been some very high highs and there have been some very drastically low lows. You said they started out 14th in the West. I mean, they were 11-14 at one point with no signs of getting anything going. I mean, since then, I mean, they're, I think, a league leading right behind Golden State, 30-11. I mean, sitting at 41-25 now, 2.5 games out of third place. Never thought I'd be saying that this season. You know, the difference between being a Rockets fan and cover now than years past is there's this increased, I guess you would say, an increased opportunity for the championship window with Harden being in his prime. And now with getting CP3, I think people are starting to realize, hey, after the 2017 offseason, if Houston's going to win a championship with James Harden, it has to be in the next couple seasons because CP3's not getting any younger as well. And I think that was kind of one of the main concerns you got. And you signed him to a four-year, $160 million contract, which was questionable to begin with, and then at the beginning of the year he has a stint with the bad health. But ever since the All-Star break, I mean, we can talk about James Harden all day long, but Chris Paul is one of the reasons why this team was able to get back on track as well.
Right. I mean, right now the Houston Rockets are riding a league high 8-game winning streak, finally getting healthy too, which has been a big thing for them. Chris Paul's back, Clint Capella's back, Ken Fareed, who's been banged up, I think he's coming back too. You know, it's been a crazy year. And, you know, looking at those teams around the Rockets, obviously the Warriors, you know, we'll talk about them more in depth in a second, because obviously that's where the teams like the Rockets, Thunder, and Nuggets are really trying to base themselves off. How do you think the Rockets stack up against the other teams like the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder? Where do you have the Rockets in relation to those two teams? Are they better than those two teams? Are they about on par? Are they worse? What are some of your thoughts? Obviously, I know you're a Rockets guy, so you might have some homer bias, but try and be as unbiased as possible, of course.
Well, I think if we're talking about from a momentum standpoint, I think that the Rockets are better. But if I'm going with like a true analysis point, I think that the Nuggets have a slight edge just because I think that they have more coming off the bench in terms of depth. But the Oklahoma City, I mean, is in a point where See, the point's weird because, I mean, they were showing that, hey, this is could be a team. If Paul George is playing at this elite level and Brody's doing what he is doing, they could be a legitimate contender to the Warriors. I know we all watched the 26-point debacle that Houston had against Oklahoma City a couple weeks ago, in which I don't know if you remember, but I said on the NBA outlet, which was my first appearance on there, that the Thunder had a better chance of going further than the Rockets. I've kind of flip-flopped now just because Houston's riding this 8-game win streak and you'd be able to see all the pieces coming back together. But I think they're going to have to show more. And I know that they have a clash coming up. I believe it's the 28th of this month. They will host Denver in the final time that they'll play them in the regular season. So, you know, it all comes down to how they continue to mesh and if everybody can stay healthy. I mean, that's kind of the unsung hero here is, I mean, there's no guarantee that the Rockets can even keep this healthy streak going.
Yeah, this it's funny. The NBA, this is when you cover sports in general, your takes and opinions change so quickly, right? Because I was right there with you. I thought OKC had kind of solidified themselves as almost the second best team in the West. The Nuggets, for me, have kind of soured slightly. Like, I actually, this might be a somewhat hot take, I think the Houston Rockets are the second best team in the West. I think their only team better than them right now, the Golden State Warriors. And obviously, the Rockets are the hottest team right now across the NBA. So that kind of clouds that a little bit. But Denver, to me, I just don't think they're ready enough. I think they still have experience lacking. And the Rockets, obviously, a lot of those guys have been here before. James Harden is playing at this ridiculous level. They're finally getting healthy. I like some of the additions they've made. Now, talking about some of the guys on this Houston Rockets team, you know, what do you – I guess we'll save James Harden for last because we could talk about him probably for 10 to 15 minutes on his own. But guys like Chris Paul, in the limited time you've seen him, he obviously had to weather the ship a little bit when James Harden – well, no. Did James Harden miss time this year? Yeah, James Harden did miss time this year when James Harden went down with the shoulder injury.
Yeah, he missed a little bit of time with the shoulder injury early on in the season, and he missed well, actually, the shoulder injury was a little bit later, just not too long ago, and he had that whatever he had going on with his head and stuff like that. So he's had a couple of little rinky-dink 1 to 2 game stretches where he's been out, but, I mean, he's played the vast majority of the season.
Right. So, Chris Paul, though, how have you felt so far in this? You know, obviously he's got the extension, so he's there long term. You know, is he just a little bit banged up, or are we starting to see the decline in Chris Paul?
Well, I think we've been starting to see the decline in Chris Paul, but fortunately for the people who follow the Rockets, is he's shown since the All-Star break, since he's come back healthy, that that decline is not as drastic as once thought. I mean, because before the season, I mean, you're getting paid around $40 million annually. I mean, there's going to be high expectations, and especially with a guy of his injury history and his track record, I mean, at 33 years old, there's going to be speculation. And when he comes into the season and struggles shooting and doesn't look like the cohesion's there on offense, I know he had that, I think it was an elbow injury that kind of was messing with his shooting on his shooting arm. So, I mean, that goes without saying. And then he misses that extended period of time with another hamstring issue. And then that's, I mean, it's just speculation adding at this point. The narrative is now shifting to, well, do the Rockets somehow part ways with Chris Paul? And I was seeing that all over the message boards. And finally, he comes back, looks healthy. Well, the thing I think makes the most sense is he looks confident. I mean, he's still averaging just under 16 points a game, just over 8 assists per game. So, I mean, the stats are kind of there, but he's starting to look more confident. We're starting to see the CP3 that serves as the change of pace, kind of the guy, the Robin to James Harden's Batman. So I think it's starting to come together. As long as he can just continue to stay healthy, I mean, I think the Rockets will continue their trend upward.
Now, what are some other guys on this team that have stuck out player-wise? You know, is it the Clint Capellas? Is it the Clint Capellas, if there's more than one? Is it Clint Capella? Is it P.J. Tucker? You know, Kenneth Faried was kind of like a revelation in his short time so far with Houston. What are some guys that really caught your eye that you think are important pieces that this Houston Rockets team is going to get back to the Western Conference Finals?
Right. And for the Rockets to get back to the Western Conference Finals, it's going to all be about defense, because last year, I think the one thing that, I mean, yes, you could talk about their revolutionary offense and you see how James Harden and Chris Paul and what they were able to do on the court together. But one thing that was oftentimes overlooked was how well they switched defensively. And I think that PJ Tucker with his, I mean, we've seen all the video clips of how he's hounded Kevin Durant and other players around the league, and when he's hitting shots, PJ Tucker is one of the four most valuable players on the Rockets, and even if he's not, he's up there in the top five as well. I mean, PJ is one of those guys to where you have to give him credit because he does all the things that no one else does. And along with him, I mean, struggling early on in the season, Eric Gordon is such an important piece to this team because he does run that second unit. Now, it looks like they're going to keep him in the starting lineup because there's been success there. But when he's hitting shots, it spreads the floor so much more for Harden and Paul to be able to get in the lane and do what they do. And it trickles down to them being able to run the pick and roll with Capella, because it opens up and you have guys like Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker, Austin Rivers on the wing. So Eric Gordon's a huge piece, especially when he's hitting shots.
Eric Gordon is I'm sad to admit it, a name that I always forget for some reason when I go over this Houston Rockets team. He's a name that I constantly like leave out of the list, and you're 100% right, spot on. He's pivotal to any success this Rockets team is going to have. They need him to be an efficient threat from deep. He shoots enough threes. They just really haven't fallen for much of the year. But I think that's a great guy to look out for the Houston Rockets. You know, they've made obviously a ton of additions this year. This is obviously not the same roster even that they had at the start of the year. What are some of your thoughts on guys like Austin Rivers, you know, Kenneth Faried, Amon Shumpert, some of these guys that they've brought in throughout the year? Have any of these guys stuck out for you? Have any of these guys proved that they're going to be big pieces if this team's going to win down the stretch?
Well, yeah, I think all three of them are going to have to be able to pour in their contributions. I mean, I think it's yet to be seen how well Amon Shumpert can mesh with this group, considering that he has had his own little injury stint since getting here. I don't know what it is about players on the team and automatically getting injured when they come on the Rockets, but I'm not liking the trend there. But I mean, you hear all the time that I think Rockets fans were a little spoiled in the offseason, because I mean, you hear the whole talks about, well, they've offered four first round picks for Jimmy Butler to try to create this almost Monstars lineup to take down the Warriors. And the thing about it is I'm not so sure of how well of a fit that would have been. I mean, honestly, Houston's not really in need of another star. They're in need of players who know their roles and can execute them and play around James Harden. And you see, with Austin Rivers now, he's been able to offer another ball handler and a guy who can knock down shots. Kenneth Faried, who's able to stand in the void of Clint Capella and be able to flourish around the rim and run the pick and roll game and offer a guy who can rebound. And now he's coming off the bench, both of those guys respectively. So, I mean, it's big for their second unit, because a lot of times second units can win NBA finals. And we see that with the Warriors and how well their second units operate. I mean, it's worth noting how well they run with their starters, but their second units are just as effective against other teams in that regard. So I think Rivers and Faried are big, and they're going to have to remain to do what they're doing for Houston to continue to go for. And I think Amon Shumpert's going to have to start kicking into gear as well. I mean, just because you can never have too many shooters. And if he's shooting well, it definitely benefits for Houston, considering that he is a good defensive player.
Obviously, last year, Mike D'Antoni won Coach of the Year. And this year has had ups and downs. What have been some of your thoughts on Mike D'Antoni while he's had to kind of lead a kind of put together by glue at times roster? And obviously they're sitting at third in the West. What are some of your thoughts on D'Antoni and how he's managed this season?
D'Antoni will get a lot of heat around the league, and has, and a lot of people, there's the whole mantra over, oh, D'Antoni ball is just basically you shoot, and whoever's on the court, you shoot. And, you know, to an extent, we do shoot a lot of threes, and that's kind of given with the roster and the system that it runs. But I think D'Antoni has done exceptional with what he's been given, because, I mean, even GM Daryl Morey, I mean, it's always been this season, is we were inches away, we were a hamstring away from going to the NBA Finals, in which they probably wouldn't have won easily. So you add all these pieces that don't work out, in their respective sense. And then it gets to the trade deadline and you focus on, well, now we don't want to have to pay the repeater tax and the luxury tax next season, so we're going to slim down the roster even more. So, I mean, I don't think D'Antoni's been given a lot of time to adjust because you have your injuries, and now you kind of see everybody's back. You see the mold of what the playoff roster will be like. But, I mean, it helps when you have a floor general like James Harden absolutely ascending to a new level that we have not seen in his career this season and been able to resurrect this team. But D'Antoni, I mean, give him credit because he's definitely doing a lot behind the scenes and finding what works and what doesn't.
Now, James Harden, right? The guy's an animal. Another year, I was going over like the just like the last 4 years. So you had that year against Steph Curry where you can make the case that if it was any other year, James Harden's the MVP. But of course, Steph Curry was phenomenal. He wins, I think, the unanimous MVP that year. And then the next year, you have that Westbrook and James Harden MVP battle. And I had the unpopular opinion that I thought that season should have been co-MVPs. I think both those guys had warranted incredible success individually and as a team for what they had roster-wise. That I thought that could have been a co-MVP season. Last year, James Harden finally gets his well-deserved MVP. And now this year, once again, James Harden is in that one-to-two-man conversation for MVP with Antetokounmpo. And, you know, 36 points per game. He had that stretch where he averaged 55 points, I think, for an entire week. We've seen, I think he has 4 50-point games this season, which is the most of, obviously, any player in the league. I think he also has the most 50-point games in the last 5 years of any player in the NBA. The guy is a scoring machine. He can do it all. What are some of your thoughts on this MVP race?
Well, talking about Harden, I mean, Doris Burke said it, I believe it was Friday night when they played the 76ers. They could use two screens of graphics just based upon Harden's accolades on this season alone. And I know you saw that, you had to have seen the stat where I think it was from Bleacher Report that said if Harden did not score a single point for the rest of the season, he'd still be averaging 28.6 on the season, which would lead the league if the season were to end today. So, that's just remarkable. And, you know, on the outlet, I gave it to Giannis because, I mean, it was still kind of split in my mind, but the Rockets were further down in the standings. And, you know, I like to incorporate team success to an extent, and with being the benefit of the doubt with the Bucks having the best record in the league. But my narrative has kind of shifted again, and I'm finally starting to go back toward Harden because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, you talked about how the narrative's changed in the MVP race, and I think a lot of people are searching for consistency, but I don't think it'll ever be as consistent as they want it because some narratives will always hold more weight than others, and it's all relative based upon the season. I mean, James Harden wins the MVP last season, yet he's having a better season this season. So it's kind of interesting, and this is no disrespect to Giannis because he is having an absolute phenomenal season. What he's been doing with Milwaukee is unreal. It's absolutely crazy. But for Harden to have to deal with the injuries to his second, third, and even fourth, because Eric Gordon has missed a ton of time as well this season, for him to resurrect a team that literally looked like they might tank for a top 14 pick, now they're in third in the Western Conference standings, and it's been a large part due to his scoring prowess and this unreal streak that lazy Twitter referees and analysts will swear up and down that it's because of, well, there's a big conspiracy that the referees love to give Harden all these free throws and he travels. But I mean, let's face it, if it was that easy, anyone would do it, and there's not that many people in NBA history that have been able to do what he's doing, if any, except for maybe Wilt Chamberlain and Michael Jordan. And I don't think people realize that of all the people averaging over 35 points per game in a season throughout NBA history, Harden has been perhaps the most efficient. So I think that if any other year, if this is last year, I think Giannis wins it, and I don't think it's close. But just the fact that the narratives are still building up against James Harden and he's coming off this reigning MVP and still able to do what he's doing but at a higher level, I think at some point, you know,
Yeah, I'm still on to the Kumpo for MVP. I'm still on that train. But I have to say, there is something extremely just kind of mouthwatering. You put together the stats and everything Harden has done, and then the fact that the Rockets could, I don't think they get as high as the one seed, but they could seriously get to the two seed in the Western Conference. And to be 14th at one point in time in the Western Conference, and then getting possibly all the way back up to second and maybe even first, and having the display, the array of injuries, the fact that Harden had to, you know, have that 50-point stretch, even for them to be a winning basketball team for a point in time, I think the narrative and the story has definitely pushed in favor of James Harden. And I think, honestly, maybe it wasn't this close prior to the 8-game winning streak they're on right now, but I think James Harden has once again, you know, I think the huge scoring tear he had, you know, in December and January is what put him back in the MVP conversation, like really put him up top. And this is what I think has almost made this a neck-to-neck race between him and Antetokounmpo. And I think depending on where the Rockets finish in the standings, if they finish one or two, I think that, to me, only helps build the case that James Harden this season has done a tremendous job of not even just having a career year, but dragging this Rockets team all the way up in the standings.
And it's worth mentioning that Harden has a couple more opportunities to prove himself because, I mean, I believe it. Yeah, it's Wednesday. Golden State comes to town, and they had the opportunity to sweep the Warriors in the season series 4-0. And two of those games, they haven't had – well, actually, no. Yeah, two of those games, they haven't had one of either Chris Paul or James Harden. Now they're both back. Harden has the opportunity to prove himself because this 8-game win streak, I mean, they've won at Boston. They've beaten Toronto in the North. They have beaten the Warriors. They have taken down Philadelphia. So it's not like this 8-game win streak has been just a bunch of duds. I mean, they played some pretty decent teams. And like I said, they had the Bucks later on this month as well, along with the Nuggets. So there's opportunities. It's kind of a gaunty schedule. I mean, they do have the Hornets tonight, so who knows with that one, but I mean, they still have opportunities, and Harden still has an opportunity to really solidify himself, because I think if the season ends today, it goes to Giannis. But that's the beauty about the MVP race, is that it goes until the very end of the regular season, so he's still got about 16 games to prove that he should be the reigning MVP.
Right, and now flipping into what happens when the regular season ends, what are your expectations for this Houston Rockets team? Is the Western Conference Finals, like, what is your expectation as we get closer and closer to the NBA playoffs?
You know, that's my expectations with the Rockets, and that's what it was last season as well, is the Western Conference Finals. I'll never expect them to beat the Warriors until it actually happens. So that's kind of like my whole motto, is until someone actually dethrones a team that has been consistently winning, also known as like the Patriots and the Cavs a couple of years ago with their Eastern Conference run, until someone actually dethrones them, I will rarely ever go against them. I like the Rockets against any other team in a 7-game series with James Harden and Chris Paul, Clint Capella and company. But right now, I think Western Conference Finals is where their season will probably reach to and probably end as well.
Now, what team did you have more confidence in? Last year's Houston Rockets team or this year?
I think it's most definitely last year's. I mean, you have a team that's 65-17, which is absolute, or what, 62 is whatever they're. I mean, it was an absolutely crazy regular season. They didn't really blow leads like they do this season, which really frustrates me. They were able to sustain health better. Their rotations were more defined. Defensively, they were better, although that they're seventh since the All-Star break in defensive efficiency and rating this season. I think it's just a matter of, if you ask me this at the end of the regular season, I might tell you different. But for right now, until they can get actual set rotations and see what guys fit where, I think I'd have to go with last year.
I think you're from the logical sense, you're right. I mean, they had 65 wins, and obviously they were 2 games away from the NBA Finals. Do you still think this team matches up well with the Golden State Warriors? Obviously, as you mentioned, they have the chance to sweep the season series. Do you think this team can still hang despite the fact that now the Warriors have added a DeMarcus Cousins?
Oh, for sure. The thing about it is I think people are starting to realize Cousins defensively, since he's come back, he has not been good. And that's one thing that the Warriors have been able to low-key ride on is the fact that they've been able to play good defense as a collective unit. But I think we see, although, and some people will pitch this offensive rating narrative that they're still the best team in NBA history in terms of offensive game, and that may be true. But the pressure's on Golden State this year because free agency has taken its toll on the Warriors' mantra and the whole fan base. And you can just kind of see the tension rising. I mean, the Rockets are 3-0 against the Warriors this season. I know that's regular season and it's a lot different from the postseason, but they have looked quite impressive when playing them. I mean, even though they've been kind of undermanned almost every single time they've played them, they've been able to switch defensively. And, I think the Rockets, and Daryl Morey says it best, is they are programmed to beat the Warriors. And all of the pressure right now is on Golden State. If you get that Western Conference Finals again, I think Houston feels less pressured than Golden State. So I think they're definitely more inclined to beat them this season than maybe even last season.
That's a hot take. That's a nice take. Any final thoughts, Dalton, before we get on out of here?
Not much. There's one team that I wanted to talk about. We talked about Denver, and I just have to talk about how much I absolutely love what they've got going on. I mean, Jokic is really defining himself as a top center in the league. You got Malik Beasley, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Monty Morris, maybe even Michael Porter Jr. if he can produce, and then Jared Vanderbilt. I think that the Nuggets could very well be, in the next couple of years, their own little defined dynasty in the Western Conference.
I think Denver is certainly coming. Obviously, they've been just outside the last couple of years, just missing out. This year, obviously, they've made the jump. They're second in the West. They have 43 wins. They have a ton of young talent, young guys popping off. They are deep. And I think Mike Malone is a fantastic job. I just don't think that what you kind of just mentioned, the experience is there necessarily. I still think these guys have a lot more potential. I still think there's a lot more growing to be done, a lot more learning to be done. And I still think there's roster spots to teeter with. Obviously, Paul Millsap, he might not be back next year. So then seeing how they kind of rebuild around the different bets they got coming out around these young guys, I think Denver is certainly a promising team. And they have the possibility, like you mentioned, to be the next dynasty in the Western Conference.
Yes, sir.
So, Dalton, where can the people find you on social media?
So, basically, you can follow me at DPence on NBA. I do all the on my Twitter stuff off there. You can just look through me on the OTG page. Basically, anything Houston Rockets, anything of that sort, like Corey mentioned at the very beginning, I will be creating a podcast that will focus kind of along the draft aspect or maybe even Houston. I don't think we've kind of set that in stone yet, but also one thing that I'd like to point out is that the draft content is about to increase tenfold. I mean, we've just added, I think, 7 or 8 guys onto the draft site that are really dedicated, committed, and that have great content and analysis. So I'm excited to be able to work with those guys. So, I mean, if anyone listening wants to explore opportunities with us regarding Houston or the draft or even anything else, I mean, you can DM or tweet me or Corey both. And
yeah, I think that's an awesome plug. We're always looking for new contributors, writers, podcasters at OTG Basketball. So if you're looking for a platform where you can write, where you can maybe even podcast, definitely reach out to us. The draft content, Dalton, I'm really looking forward to. Obviously, we're in March Madness, and this is when everything starts to heat up college-wise. I know for me personally, this is the time of the year where I actually start looking into the draft more. I'm not a big college guy. I can only watch so much stuff in a given night between the NBA, college basketball,
baseball. I'm a big Yankees fan, so that's starting up. I only got so much time, so I actually last year relied heavily on the OTG draft team, and now you're running the show. I really look forward to the kind of content you produce, the podcast you got in the works. That's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. OTG Basketball got a lot of stuff coming. Be sure to check out all the articles we got, podcasts we got. We're running in the Other Guys series. Me and Jack Manuel have been releasing our OTG's top 50 NBA players. We have 50 through 21 out now. I know the last segment, 21 through 30, got a little bit of buzz because of where we placed Draymond Green. So feel free to read that, then come at my throat. And that's going to do it. Dalton, thanks for hopping on, buddy.
Always a pleasure, Corey. Take care.
Later. Hey, Nigel, you know what's not ideal?
Nah, bro, you're gonna have to tell me, man.
Nothing. Everything's good. Everything's Gucci. I ain't got nothing to complain about today.
Oh, shit.
I'm the cusp of 25. I ain't got no complaints. Life feels pretty good. How about you? How's life treating you? You got a big move coming up.
Yo, dude, life is just, it's good. It's just too fast. Things need to slow down a little bit right now. But yeah, we're moving. Actually, this weekend, Saturday, and then I start my new job on Monday.
Big move. Big moves. Everybody, it's a good week. Everybody winning this week.
It is a good week.
Nothing to complain about this week. No. Before we get right into it, you know what we got to play first, though, right?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Run the jewels. Nigel, we had finally a couple albums to listen to. It's been like a dry spell for music. We've talked about this on the last episode. This wasn't a ton of music. I found somebody to listen to, and then Juice WRLD. I keep thinking that's the name of the album, but that's the artist's name. Then yeah. Juice WRLD dropped an album. We'll talk about that one first. Death Race for Love. Never heard Juice WRLD before this album. So this was an experience. 22 songs. Let me say, stop making albums that fucking long. Let's chill out with 22 songs in an album, because I don't have the attention span to give someone 22 songs worth of my time. With that said, the first 7 songs, maybe 8 songs, I think are pretty good. I actually enjoy like the first 5 heavily. What were some of your thoughts?
So I had listened to Juice WRLD before. He had an album with Future. I want to say it's an album or a mixtape that he dropped a couple months ago. And it was pretty good. And I was like, okay, I see why people like this guy, right? And I listened to this, and I skipped through probably every song at first. And then I was like, I'm not listening to this. This is garbage. This is just sad music, and I can't deal with that right now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into that mode. Yeah. And then you hit me up. You're like, yo, man, let's do the episode. And then I brought up the album. You're like, oh, I never heard of him before. Let's do it. So I was like, all right, let me really give this a listen. And I listened through it. And my conclusion again was, I understand why people like him. I get it. But like, people have compared him to Michael Jackson in the past, and I don't see why or how. But like, he was on Twitter ranting, saying that he freestyled this whole album, which I'm not saying I'm like happy about or like excited or whatever about it. But it's just like, cool, you did that or whatever. But it's just like, it's sad shit. You're just talking about doing drugs. Like, you're 19 years old. Like, I don't like that shit. That's not me. It's not my cup of tea. But I see why people like it.
Yeah, I mean, this is, definitely, especially for, like, we're going to talk about horror, like, zodiac signs at the end of this podcast, just because. And me and Nigel, for whatever it's worth, are both Pisces, so we're, like, emotional guys by all zodiac symbol definitions. So, like, an album like this is really emotional, and I can definitely say that, like, I listened to it 2 times through. That's the most I could give it, because 22 songs and everything else, and I listened to it 2 times through. Certain songs I played probably like 3 or 4 times, but like, it definitely puts you in a kind of like a depressing mindset. Like, you're not looking at life maybe as how you should, because it's some sad shit. And I get it. Like, I agree with you, you know, 19 years old and, you know, talking about drugs a lot and how sad he is. It's, And he can definitely find a demographic because, you know, I remember being that young and my emotions were probably way worse than they were now, like being controlled. They definitely were, actually. I could not control my emotions when I was 19 years old.
Dude, but it's hard, man.
Definitely. So, like, I think this has, you know, it doesn't have play again value. I think we can mark that down. This is not an album where you're going to listen to every song, like, straight through ever, especially after we got through it these, you know, two times for me, however many times you got through it.
No.
Were there any songs that stuck out to you?
There was like one or two, but I did want to say this real quick. Also, the album cover was cool because it's like a PlayStation 1 game, like game case.
Shit, I'm looking at it right now and I did not put that together until you just said that. But
it's like Twisted Metal? That game, Twisted Metal.
It's like a PlayStation 1 cover.
Yeah, that's hard. Like, that's cool, man. That's like probably the only praise I'll give this shit was just the album cover. I think the Bee's Knees was something I liked, and On God isn't that bad, but Young Thug's voice gets annoying really quickly.
Yeah,
there were some other ones I was listening to while I was doing other stuff, so I didn't look at the titles of the names. They were like in the beginning that I liked. It was just really the beats more than anything.
Yeah, my three favorite songs are 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
Maze, Emotions, and Demons. Demons is the interlude. It's only like a minute 20.
Right,
like,
yeah.
The beat in that is really nice. And I think it's Brent, whatever, is singing. And like, I don't know. I like that kind of like.
I think that was something I like too. Because what's the fucking word I'm looking for? It transitions into the other song really nicely.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
You know what this actually had a feel to, dude? Like it felt like I'm listening to like My Chemical Romance with a hint of rap.
I never really listened to a lot of My Chemical Romance, so I can't.
I mean, like, really, like, you can listen to any type of emo music, and, like, literally, this album will fit with those albums that came out back in, like, 2007-ish.
Yeah, I can feel that. The first, like, five songs all are depressing, like, for sure. And then in the middle, it's still a little bit better, but a lot of these songs are obviously Death Race for Love, so it's kind of like the name of the album says it's all. It doesn't have much replay value, like I said. There are some songs I like. Let's give it the grade. I'm giving this is probably the lowest grade I've given on this five-star basketball. Well, five basketballs, five stars. I'm giving it one basketball.
You know, and dude, I wasn't even gonna go that low.
I'll give it 1.5 actually, because I'll probably play Demons and Maze more than once because I like those songs.
I respect you, man. I'm gonna give it a 3, and I'll explain why. It's because it might not be the album for me, but it's like musically, it's not a bad album to listen to. Like, it's right. Put together really well, and like I can't let my personal opinion affect that. You know what I'm saying? So I'll give it 3, but it's just like, if I really wanted to get my personal opinion, I would stick with you and go with the 1.
Damn, I feel like you just threw shade at me.
I respect you, bro. I do. Trust me, dude.
Yeah, so that's an album that was okay. I'm actually looking forward to see like what happens maybe when he doesn't, you know, sing about shit that's depressing.
Right, like he has the skill to do that.
Yeah.
It's evident, it's clear that he has skill. Just he needs to get into a better mindset.
Now, next up, this album came out in 2018, and it doesn't have a lot of lyrics on it. I know there's some songs have like a woman singing like a couple verses or something, but like it's really just a beat-driven album, and that's Early Joints by, I don't even know how to say his name. I think it's The Prophnetic.
I think so.
Prophnetic? Prophnetic. The Pho. Wait, what? The Prophnetic, for those who want to look them up, and maybe I'm not saying it right. This album for me is awesome because this is literally just background music. Like, you can play this no matter what you're doing. It just flows. Nigel, you listened to it a few times, but I'm actually really interested to know what you thought about this album.
Dude, I listened to it so many times because this is like my type of music. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've always talked about the internet, and I think I played some internet songs to you. Like, if you play the internet and then you played this album right after it, it fits with that type of vibe. But it's just, it immediately hits you, and it's just you, like, It is background music for sure, but this is like all types of music, dude. Like, this is just good vibe shit. Like, if you're just looking to vibe out, every song's a hit, man. Every song is like, there's nothing you could skip on there. You can almost put on a shuffle and be good. Like, and you put me onto this, dude, and like, I really want to just like, you know, give you a dap for that, dude, because that was a good look, man. That was a good look. Because I really fuck with these guys. I want to find more shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just came out with a single actually earlier today. I saw something before Instagram crashed. And if you guys don't know, well, at least when this pod is being recorded, Instagram has been down for like 12 hours today. It's been all out of whack. And I know he tried to drop some music, but he's got like an album coming out, I think, later this year. He's only 16 years old, too. I don't know if I told you this, Nigel. The kid who made these beats, he's 16.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I've been trying to find like what it, so he just drops instrumentals.
He dropped an album too last year. He dropped two, this album and another album. The other album he actually sings on, but he has like a really like a Russ type of vibe to him. Like, he's kind of like Russ. He produces all of his music, he sings, but the only issue for me with his voice is just, you know, like, no offense, dog, he hasn't hit puberty, so like his voice is just like really like nasally to me, and it's kind of hard to vibe with at times. Because
where is he from?
I want to say he's from Cali.
Really?
I
thought this was like, because that girl was like, has that like that British accent, like that English accent.
Yeah, I think that's a girl, but like, also there was one song I know from like the album I listened to where like I thought it was a girl, and then I was like, oh shit, no, this is actually him singing, because he just has like a kind of a girly voice at the moment.
Wow. Okay.
But he does up. He plays all the instruments himself. He records them one at a time. He has an Instagram. I actually just followed him.
I'm looking at his Instagram right now.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. He's definitely got next up. And he even said recently that he didn't want to produce, because somebody like messaged him, was like, do you want to produce beats for like famous rappers? And he was like, no, like, these are my beats, like, I don't want to give them to anybody, like, I want to do this all myself. That's so I'm really stuff. Interested to see what he does as he gets older, because again, you know, he's just 16.
That's crazy, dude. 16 and you're making music like that.
Yeah,
it only goes up from there. That's fucking awesome.
Now, what are some of your songs you really fuck with on this,
dude? It's so hard to name. I was like looking at the playlist right now, the track list, and it's just like every song I like.
I can give you my four, because I got a solid four already. So first off, 24/7 to start off.
Yeah,
perfect. Said What, the song two, perfect. And then, I mean, honestly, Airline Food, I'll do five. Airline Food would be my third. I Don't Care, track seven. I think that's fantastic. And then I really fuck with Conlaw Guitaro, track 13.
Mm.
Those are my five favorite songs from this album.
Dude, I'm going to have to go. You said top four.
I said five. I did five.
I like the whole thing. And like, this is bad because I once again listened to this shit. I didn't look at the track list while I was listening to it, so I'm fucked up. So I had to listen to it again. But I really like all the beginning songs. Like, pretty much every song you just said, I liked. I just have to play this again to actually know which ones are which. There's like some songs that like have these crazy beats on them, and I think it was towards the end. It might be Drunk Charmer.
I have to also give a shout out to Devin Jakowski.
Did Devin put you onto this one?
Oh, for sure.
I saw him like on the Instagram. I was like, oh, this is where it came from.
For sure. He definitely. We were talking about something, and because I sent him that real Jerv, and then he was like, he didn't listen to it. I was like, all right, you got to put some respect on it. He listened to it. He's like, all right, I think you're ready for this. And he sent me this. And I listened to like the first three songs, and then like I texted him. I was like, yo, there's no one singing on this shit. And he was like, yeah, they're just instrumentals. And I was like, oh, fuck. The minute he said that, I got through like four more songs. I was like, yo, Nigel is going to fucking love this.
Dude, shout out to Dev, man. How has he been?
He's good. He's good. He's working. He's tied down with a good girl right now. So he's
nice.
He's doing real good. Yeah. Going to see him tomorrow, actually, for the birthday celebrations.
Hell yeah. That's what's up. Shouts out to Dev, man.
Yeah, he knows good music. He knows music.
Yeah, dude, I think this is two for two so far with him, because he's put me onto something else. I just can't remember what it was. Oh, it was Lucas Joyner or Joyner Lucas.
Yeah, Joyner Lucas, yeah.
Dev don't miss, man.
Nah, Dev be out there. That's all he does, because he's a teacher and he has like a lot of free time at work. So all he does is look up music when he's chilling. So
that's what's up.
Yeah. So now let's rank the album. I'm giving this 5.
I'm giving it 5 too. No contest.
No contest. Easily a 5. We're gonna replay it at any point in time. It's actually right now like my favorite gym album, believe it or not. Like, I go to the gym, I just start playing it, and I'm in a zone, and it just cruises through. I don't have to worry about like anything. I don't know. It's a very good album. Shout out to this kid.
I put all the songs on my main playlist.
Damn, that's how about that? I can't even take full credit now because Dev found it, but like,
nah, dude, you can't.
I still shared it. That's
it counts, all. It counts, dog.
Dev doesn't share stuff, so like, I'm like the, he's the man behind the scenes, but I'm the one out front. That's all. He's my ghostwriter.
Oh man.
But yeah, at 5. That's for sure. All right. So, next up, zodiac signs.
Yes.
Now we all know how this goes, right? Especially like with women. This is like, I don't think zodiac signs are that big of a deal to men. Like, no. I know what mine is, but like, I don't look into it. But like, I know that girls, like, like, I know, like, I've been on a date where in the first date the girl will go like, "What's your zodiac sign?" It's like, are you gonna like, what, you're gonna go home and see if we're compatible? Damn, you're gonna son. Check, you're gonna check out the stats.
I used to do that, Sean, low key.
Did you really?
Well, I mean, I would ask. I would always ask, like, in the certain conversations, I would always like to know. I'd check. I mean, I used to heavily believe in this shit. Like, I really used to, like, believe, like, Pisces and Pisces didn't match and, like, all that other shit. Like, I really thought that shit was true. But fuck zodiac signs, man, because they're not true all the time. They just really they guide you. They're for guidance more than anything. Do not like follow that shit word for word because it will fuck you up.
Yeah, for sure. Like I know, because obviously we're both Pisces. So like there's some stuff when I look at a Pisces and I go, you know, that's pretty accurate, you know, about being emotional, about I know that's the first thing I always say.
It's true.
Yeah, Pisces are very in tune with their emotions. And they say for when you're a Pisces man, you're like the perfect type of like listener and whatever the case may be. But also it says like Pisces need time to like recharge their battery and they pull away from people. And like, I know you and you know me and I know for a fact we both do that.
Yeah.
Like frequently things could be like so good for 3 weeks and then all of a sudden it's like, yo, where the fuck's Nigel? Or like, yo, where the fuck's Corey? And it's like, he just decided to, you know, fall off the face of the earth for an entire week. And like, my friends do that. Like, my buddy Jim lives in, you know, Jim, he lives in North Carolina. Yeah. And we literally FaceTime every day, if not every other day. And we went a week without FaceTiming because I just didn't like answer his calls. And he texted me, deadass texted me. It was like, yo, you're going through shit, huh? You're like, what's wrong? And I was like, nah. I was like, I'm good. I was like, I just don't feel like talking right this week. I was like, I don't know. I'm just kind of like in myself. He's like, all right, good. He's like, as long as you're good. I was like, yeah, no, I'll be back to normal in a couple days.
Dude, that's how I was like the last 2 days. Like, I literally felt like I was in a bad mood. And like, realistically, there was nothing to really to like be upset about or sad about. But it was just like, everything was in my head. I was just thinking so much. And it's just like, I didn't want to talk or be around people. At all.
Yeah. No, and that's another thing with like, which I also find with Pisces, like, and I know we do this a lot because this, especially when it comes to like recording podcasts, which is probably bad. I need to get better at it. But like, I'll be so down for an idea. And then the time comes for the idea. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it. Like, my energy's not right. Like, I don't want to do it.
Damn, son. That happened the last couple of days.
Yeah, for sure.
Last night, like, I was actually relieved that we didn't record because I was just like, I don't want it. Like, low key, I knew you didn't. I wanted to. Like, there was a part of me that really wanted to record, but like, the energy wouldn't be like how it is now.
Bro, it's funny. I felt the same way last night. Like, you didn't text me. I didn't text you for a while. And I was like, I had my own shit going on, some personal life stuff. But I was like, man, but even before then, I was like, after work, actually, I was like, damn, I was like, I got a podcast later. I was like, man, I'm just like, my energy is not for that tonight. And that shit happens all the time. Like, I know, like, sometimes, like, I just gotta, like, fight through it, because most of the times, like, when you actually fight through stuff, like, it's okay. So like, I'm also kind of like an introvert,
right? So like, I know like sometimes like I just don't want to do stuff because that's just like my internal thing saying like hide. But then like normally when you push through the shit, like stuff normally does come out well, and you're like, oh wow, like why was I worried to like do that, or like why wasn't I feeling it at first? But that's some real shit.
Yeah, man. You know what's kind of funny though is like I only know Pisces. Like I know other bits and pieces about other things, like about other zodiac signs, but like it's easier to identify another Pisces. Is that true for you too?
For sure. Especially a guy Pisces.
Yeah.
Like cause like when you're talking to a, this is like when it talks about like stuff that's like emotional based or anything, like a Pisces guy just like opens up. And like when you're talking to somebody and like they start doing, they like, oh yeah, like yeah, I can definitely tell that you're like in tune with your emotions.
And then, yeah, it's weird because it's like it's prominent. It's like a prominent thing in somebody. Like, you could tell. It's weird.
Yeah. And then like the only other sign that I know decently well is like Libra.
Okay.
First off, my dad's a Libra. My ex was a Libra. So like they both have a lot of similar traits when it comes to like dealing with stuff. Like when they don't like something, they just get quiet, they don't talk about their emotions and like stuff like that. So like I can tell who a Libra is too by like how they react to certain emotions, because Libras tend to keep things inside. But yeah, a lot of zodiac signs I'm not like what's it called, diversed in or educated on.
Like, now, do you believe in like the matching with the signs? So like I'm pretty sure Pisces matches with Taurus and
Virgo.
Yeah. I think we talked about this off pod before. Like, I've been with the Taurus before, and then I mean I didn't really try to put any emotions into whatever was going on, but like I didn't feel anything like at all from that person. The talking was cool, like the vibe was cool, but like I didn't feel anything from it.
Yeah, like so like I've looked into it just because, you know, you're curious. Like I know like a Libra and a Pisces, zero. Like it's not supposed to, like it only works with like absolute trust, which is something that me and my ex didn't have. So like it kind of makes sense. And it says like, you know, they just have a tough time understanding each other. And then like the girl I'm seeing now, she's a Virgo. Okay. And like that's like a, you know, like you said, like that's like a 96% match or some dumb shit.
But like, what month is that? I think we have
something down. September. It's early September.
Oh, okay. So then after that's Leo.
Yeah, okay. Libra. It's Virgo and Libra. Wait.
Yo, that makes so much fucking sense. Like my best friend, like one of my best friends from growing up, I've known him since I was like 2 or 3 years old. He's a Virgo. That makes sense.
Yeah. So the girl I'm seeing, she's a Virgo. And like I've actually noticed when it comes to like communication and like talking wise, like we're like really on sync. Like we're really in sync. Like,
that's dope.
She just kind of like understands me. She kind of like understands, like we do compliment each other, like, you know. And it's strange how that does play out, because I also think though, if you know, maybe it's like a mental thing. No, like if
it
I'm
plays into it, sure.
Like if I know she's a Virgo and I see the Virgo and Pisces are supposed to be okay together, then like maybe my mind's like, oh yeah, this person's okay.
See, dude, that it's almost like it's better if you don't know and you kind of just go months in and you just blindly will find that you're compatible without kind of relying on that. It's an interesting take on it, actually.
Yeah, no, I
about it now.
I actually like I don't like knowing. Like I don't think I'm ever gonna like look into it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like I try not to going forward, especially like with my friends. I actually looked it up with my friends, just to see. And like, Graham was born in July, so I think that makes him Cancer. I don't want to say it's a Cancer. Well, either way, like Cancer and Pisces are best friends.
Okay.
Or whatever it is. So like Graham is one of my best friends, as you know. And like it says that they're supposed to be best friends, that they just vibe together. I was like, oh, that makes fucking sense. Cause like that is my best friend. But aside from that, like I saw some like I think devs, and like we're not supposed to like each other at all. I was like, see, that's bullshit, because
right,
my best friends. So I think it really just fits like.
Well, so that's the thing though. It's like me and Drew were talking, and he was saying like something about water signs and fire signs. Like, so like you could be friends with the person, but like your personalities will still clash.
Oh, okay.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean,
yeah. See, like,
but that's people, right? Isn't that true. Just people in general? Because, like, realistically, you know, there's plenty of people out there who have certain views in life, for example, that I do not agree with, and I'm never going to agree with them on. But it doesn't mean like I don't, like, I'm not like okay with them as a person, but like there's just stuff about them that I will just never be okay with.
Uh huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I,
so, like,
I think,
and
so
it doesn't, and maybe. Basically, people are people, and like I think you're either gonna like people or not like people. I don't think like the zodiac sign, like that kind of stuff, like plays too much into it. I think it's really right. Just about like vibes,
energy. Yes.
So like
yes. No, you're onto something, dude. You're onto something. We could take it there. We could take it to the energy too, man. Let's talk about that shit.
Lead it off.
All right, bet. So like you said, people are people, and this is like everyone connects with energy, good energy. And like you could see somebody being I don't want to phrase this shit. So let's take me and you, for instance, right?
Wow.
Instantly we connected based off of energy. I didn't know your birthday, you didn't know my birthday, none of that shit. We just vibed, we clicked because of the energy between us. It's just, that's good energy will always find each other, I guess you could, I'm trying to say. And then you could take, we could put, I'm just going to say his name. He's a cool guy. He's a good kid. But his energy doesn't match with how he is.
I would agree with that. And also, he had an energy along with him that was cancerous, that brought out the worst in him, and that seeped into everything else. He had like, it's a really, for backstory to everybody listening, he had a just a really...
I'm going to bleep out his name, but keep going.
That's fine. A really facetious girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, whatever the case. And their relationship was kind of just weird. And she kind of made herself a part of all of our lives without us wanting her to be a part of our lives, kind of thing. Like forcing her friends upon us and stuff like that. And like that kind of energy was constantly like affecting our energy with him, affecting his energy with us, because obviously like it was just like a lot of chaos.
But I mean, and she's another example of that. Deep down, she's a good person, but her energy's sour.
Well, I think that's another thing. A lot, I mean, this is probably how it goes. Everyone's born with good energy, right? Everybody's born good, I think you would agree. And then maybe not everybody, maybe Hitler and those kind of guys are just born to be dickheads and burn in hell.
Those are the outliers.
Right. But I think majority of people, you're born with good energy, and then your past experiences, you know, what you're going on in life, how you handle stuff, you know, emotionally and mentally, like that can drain your energy. Cause I know, like, personally, I can only say this for like myself. Last summer, my energy was toxic. I had a toxic energy to me.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, when I turned 24 last year, my world got rocked. And like, this is a good time to talk about this, cause obviously I turned 25 and like an hour probably, I think.
Yeah, an hour.
So, you know, this is, you know, people, this is, I was thinking about this in the car, people always say like, oh, new year, new me, starting at like the 2019 2018 cusp. I always see like my new year starting on my birthday. Like, I wasn't born on January 1st, so why is that the start of my year? My year is when I was born. Like, I'm wrapping up year 24 of my life, chapter 24, and I'm about to start chapter 25. And in chapter 24, when I first turned 24, I went from, I graduated from college. That's like a transition period. So like I was becoming a boy to a man, and I didn't know how to handle that. So I became just like really down. I became negative. My energy became toxic. I think about like situations in which like I was like literally just so pessimistic and like just thinking the worst was going to happen. And like just the energy was bad, like a toxic energy, like, it's cringy to think about. But that's because of my surrounding environments and my lack of being able to handle emotions. So like now, 6 months after like I started like helping myself, like I can't even imagine having that kind of negative energy.
I feel you. I feel that.
So I think circumstances are a big part of your energy.
Absolutely.
And that's also goes into your mindset. Like if you having a healthy, good mindset goes completely hand in hand with your energy. Because you can't have a good energy if your head ain't right.
But you had to grow, really, from that whole thing. It's like you had to grow, and then your whole mindset and your energy had to change with it. Like, you know, like it's tough being in those type of situations and then just letting them get the best of you, because I've been there, man. I still deal with that shit too. Not daily, but it happens, and it's just tough. It's just tough because, like, have you ever heard of a thing? I think we spoke about this before. Emotional intelligence.
Yeah, like, I didn't have it before. I think I have a lot more now than I've ever had in my entire life.
But like that type of stuff, like, it's like you think with your emotions at some point with I guess is what I'm trying to say with all that tied it together. It's just like, people think with their brains, but when you think with your emotions and your brain at the same time, it's so hard. I think it just makes it easier to get depressed that way.
Yo, Mike Tyson said this quote, and I saw it the other day, and I love it. He says, you have to keep your mind stronger than your emotions, or you'll lose yourself.
Keep your mind stronger than your emotion. Okay.
Or and that's how I felt last year. My emotions were stronger than my mind. So every time I felt something too strong or too powerful, I couldn't handle or react to it.
Wow.
I was living simply based off emotions. And then,
can I tell you, I want you to finish your thought, but I just want to tell you.
I'll just say, like, when I went to, then I started going to therapy, and like therapy really helped get my mind right. And now that like I'm in such a good place mentally, and like I do things every day to keep my mental at like a healthy spot, to keep my emotions in check, because it's a hand in hand process. But
right.
Like you said just now, like, you know, I still have bad days. Like, I'm not perfect, and I'm nowhere near like being a complete perfect being. And like, I still have days where it feels like I've made no progress. And there's some days where I feel like, holy shit, like I've made it. Like, I'm completely fine now. So like, everything is just a work in progress.
Right, man. And I think this is why we kind of bonded together, because we think similar, and I think we relate to each other a lot with this type of stuff. But I want to piggyback off of what you said with that Mike Tyson thing. Is like, I saw this story this girl posted yesterday on Instagram, and she said, if you're struggling with depression or anxiety, just tell your brain it's a lying bitch. Like, and I thought about it, like, wow, that's true. And it goes hand in hand what you said. Like, it's dead ass true. Like, if your mind's not stronger than your emotions, you lose yourself. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just exactly that goes hand in hand together. It's crazy.
And I think that's something that, like, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I can say, like, for you and me, I think that's something that we have to deal with more than usual. If you want to take the Pisces thing to any consideration, is because we feel emotions so dramatically and so highly that, mm-hmm. like, we're constantly in a battle between our emotions and our minds, because our emotions are so much stronger, I think, than the normal person. Because, like, we both wear our hearts on our sleeves, mm-hmm. and our hearts are constantly out there, and we're constantly feeling a lot. So it's at times we kind of forget to use our head, and that's when, like, our emotions become too much. I think that's why we have those, like, hiccup days. Like, yesterday, for example, like, you know, like, I can't, like, yesterday I wasn't feeling 100%, but, like, now my emotions are in check. So, like, there's just those certain moments, even maybe not even an entire day, just those moments where you're just like, wow, like, that's, I'm sad, so sad. Yeah,
you're hitting it right, dude. Those are the right words. Like, you're just wrapping it up right there. Like, you're summing, not wrapping it, is not the right, but you're summing it up how it was for me, like, the last couple of days. It's just like, my emotions got the best of me. Like, there's nothing to complain about. It's just I was in my head too much.
Thinking is like the worst thing too, like, especially like when you're feeling slightly off. Because I know, like, I can't speak for you, but I know for me, like, if I feel off, and like if I can pinpoint what I'm off about, I'll just think about that same thing over and over again.
Me too.
Not necessarily making any progress with it, but just like I'm keeping the same thought in my head, like a snowball effect, and it just grows stronger and stronger. Unless I break it with something that makes me like happy, like the gym or listening to music or something to like break my mind, then I'm just, you know, torpedoing myself for an hour, a couple hours, maybe a day or two. Like, nothing anymore lasts more than that. Like, last summer, that snowball effect for me, where I literally somehow got into my own head that I was a loser and that I wasn't going to be anything in life. I let that snowball for like 4 months, which became just whatever it was, which is me losing 20 pounds and me losing my mind.
That's crazy, man.
Like, once you realize you can catch those things, then, you know, it keeps you sane in a lot of ways.
For real.
So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Full Access Hoops.
Be sure to check us out on Twitter, on Instagram at Full Access Hoops. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Block Talk Radio. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at KWAL Hoops. That's KWAL Hoops. Nigel, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and you can find me on Twitter at Formanzy Media, Formanzy Media. And I got a podcast over there cooking up. I just dropped another episode. I think it was Monday. Talking about Partisan Fontaine. He's just a local, local rapper is definitely not what he is. He's actually a hometown superstar, I should call him now. It's a dude from Newburgh, New York, who came out, has a platinum record now. He's just been grinding. And it's just inspiring seeing somebody from back where you're from making it. It makes it possible for everyone else. Like, it just puts in perspective, like, if he could do it, anyone really could do it as long as you put that grind to it.
For sure. So definitely check out the Formanzy Media podcast. Nigel's been cropping those up, banging them out. That sounds like a great episode. I have to catch that one out. Besides that one. Be sure to check out otgbasketball.com. That is the podcast we are affiliated with. That is the website and blog that I write for and podcast for. I also co-host the NBA Outlet, the flagship podcast for the OTG Basketball. We have a top 50 series that's well on its way. We're 50 through 21 right now. We have 20 through 11 coming out today. Well, when this comes out, this will be probably already out as well. Be sure to check out all the other NBA content we have. Until next time. Peace out, knuckleheads.
Peace.